Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Gastro, 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 gastro.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall, and our guest here today
in the tank.
In the tank. From another tank. He's in the Dugo tank.
Yes.
Is Mr. Dave Warnicki.
Hello.
Hello, Dave Warnicki. Does anybody pronounce the W like an H?
Warnicki. Dave Warnicki. I've never got Dave Warnicki, but I am Warnicki and ready to go.
When he says anyone, he means anyone. Is that part of any culture on earth to pronounce any W's like any H's?
I've had a lot of people having strange attempts, but I've never had Warnicki. Am I saying that right? Dahid Warnicki?
Sometimes it's where if you don't know how to pronounce something, it's best to just go with one that you know is definitely going to be wrong, just so you're in control, yeah, you know? Right. Like, sometimes I'll see a name that's written down like Havermeister, right? Yeah. And I'll say, is that pronounced waterspout?
Yeah.
Just so, you know, I'm losing on my own terms.
Sort of try to put that into terminology that you might understand. It's like okay. If you're flying a plane.
Okay, yeah. Right. Oh, right.
And you're
my wheelhouse.
You're pretty sure at some point during the flight it's going to go down. So you may as well crash land it somewhere on purpose.
Yes.
So you get to decide exactly what you crash into.
Right. And then are you a hero in this situation or a villain?
Well... It wasn't an accident.
You're a leader.
You're not the victim of some happenstance.
Right, so when that Sullenberger guy crashed on the Hudson River, they weren't going down. He thought they may be going down, so I may as well be a hero, landed on the river on my own terms.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I get the analogy now.
Yeah.
Because it happened, apparently.
Yeah. They said it was birds.
Birds in the sky?
Hmm.
Every flight is ultimately like a battle against gravity, right? And every crash, there are a certain number of victims, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very unlikely that you'll survive, but you can still choose to not be a victim by being the person who actively flies the plane into the ground.
Yeah, that's right?
true. Right, so out of everyone here, the non-victim.
I'm not a victim.
Yeah. Right.
I refuse to be a victim of gravity.
Yeah. Because you're a guy who doesn't want to be bossed around.
Yeah, sure. So rather than gravity pulling you down, the engines drove you into the ground.
Yeah, yeah. You go way faster than gravity. You go faster than gravity.
Yes.
Yeah, as I understand science works.
Yeah. And I think if you go really fast into the water, and then once you land in the water, you sort of pull up real fast.
Like okay.
That. You do that kind of like... That kind of banana turn, you know, like when you dive off, you jump off a high diving board, but you kind of go feet first, and then when you get in the water, you curl like a banana.
Well, like you're going up a half pipe.
Yeah, can you do that? Can you get your feet to? Can you shoot back out of the water again?
I think if you go a bit diagonal, you know, you can sort of let yourself.
You curve your body right.
It can't happen.
You turn that momentum. It can happen. I reckon that's possible.
That's why I know it is. I'm describing a thing that you do.
No, but I think there's something in this, Alistair. I think this could actually take place.
Yeah, yeah.
You go down into the water, swing that around, come back up out of the water.
Come back up.
Like when a roller coaster goes down a dip and then up the other side.
Exactly.
This is what I want to see diving thing.
Yeah.
You know?
That
Olympic diving.
Olympic diving.
So the highest jump wins. Mm. But the... not the jump, I should say, the highest land wins.
Yeah, you come back out again. You no splash on the way back out, and no splash on the way back in again.
So yeah, so it's high diving, but with a second bounce. You're only counting the dive in the second bounce.
Yes. Yeah, and how many flips and stuff you can get in there.
And you're in a plane.
Well, that's what makes it impressive.
You could be. What makes it impressive is that you were able to get that past all the judges.
Yeah.
Like, they have systems in place to make sure that you don't bring a plane in.
Yeah.
But if you get it onto the diving board, there's nothing
they
can
legally
do.
They can't do anything.
That should definitely
legally
be a rule.
Yeah. Legally, or according to the rules of the Olympics, which I believe is a kind of law. Not particularly enforceable.
Now, is that a sketch idea?
Yeah, I reckon getting some sort of a plane on.
Sneaking a plane into the Olympics.
Well, okay, but does that count for all sports in the Olympics? Or are we just going for the second bounce thing?
I think the plane and the second bounce is confusing, so we should pick one. Right? Like, the second bounce I like, but I don't know if it's as immediately funny. Whereas sneaking a plane in, like, it feels like there's a clear path to comedy there.
Okay, right? I'll check the rule book. There's no rule against...
unclear paths to comedy?
Using a plane.
Yeah, I would doubt that there'd be any sport in the Olympics that actually stipulates you can't use a plane.
This is
because why would you use a plane? Huh?
Who would do
thinking
that?
Outside the box.
Yes. In fact, I'm pretty sure when the Olympics was created, they didn't even have planes.
Yes.
So,
1896.
Would they have had Alexander...
Graham Bell.
Graham Bell. That wasn't who I was thinking of. Da Vinci, who made that early plan of the helicopter.
Alexander Da Vinci. And that was his brother, right? That's Leonardo's brother?
Yeah, that's right.
He had an even earlier helicopter, which was even less practical.
It was made with an umbrella. Did you see this? You see this?
I've seen Alexander Da Vinci.
You've seen this? This Alexander Da Vinci helicopter design?
I have seen the early helicopter design.
They say that it actually inspired the Leonardo Da Vinci helicopter design.
So his biggest influence was his possibly older, possibly younger brother,
I think
Alexander.
His younger brother, who
also
was a high
of Vinci.
Achiever. Yeah, of Vinci fame.
Right.
I think, is there something in Alexander Da Vinci, Leonardo Da Vinci's brother? So Leonardo da Vinci, what have we got? We've got the Last Supper, we've got the Mona Lisa, and we've got a bunch of machines, most of which didn't seem to work.
Right. Vitruvian Man?
Vitruvian Man, that's a good drawing of a man.
Oh, is that the six arms?
That's the one with the six arms, yep. He invented the idea of a man with six arms. That's pretty good.
Is he the first guy to come up with that?
Yeah, Alexander came up with a man
Alexander.
With five arms.
Okay, right, yeah.
He was like, well, I can make this a little bit better.
I was like, two sets of arms plus one that comes up over the over the head.
Yeah.
Just for high-fiving. An arm that's specifically for high-fiving.
The highest of fives.
Like, with like, if I talk about this, the idea of a scorpion tail-style arm that comes up over your head.
That's what he's got.
Yeah.
That's what his Vitruvian Man had.
I actually think that's a great idea. That's so that like that makes sense for like reading,
right?
Like one of those clip-on reading lines.
Yes,
but on your back.
But like,
as
if
a hand.
It was going over your head like this, it's perfect for holding the book. And there's none of that, like, because it's all support. You know, it's all like you don't have to hold it up. It just kind of stays up like this, like a scorpion's tail. So there's no like you don't have to like your arms don't get tired trying to lifting it up from below.
Right, and
you know
lying.
What, I mean?
What about lying in bed? Is this better for lying in bed?
Oh, it's really uncomfortable in bed.
Okay.
You have to read standing up.
Yeah.
Sleep standing up.
No, I guess you couldn't sleep on your back.
You don't have a back anymore.
Okay,
it's
so no
front.
Back. You get this?
Two fronts?
Yeah, two fronts.
Oh.
You like that?
I love that.
It was a problem for the Germans during World War II.
Fighting
but it's going to be...
If only they fought on two backs.
Yes.
Oh.
Then they would have been facing inwards.
Inwards.
And they could have given each other moral support.
Maybe they could have looked at what they were doing and realized that it was wrong.
By looking inwards.
By looking inwards.
Yeah, you could look deep within.
Yeah.
Why would we invade Russia in winter?
Yeah. And the whole Holocaust.
Or indeed
thing.
At all.
Yeah.
Now, this was the question everyone was asking. Why in winter? But really, you know, there's no appropriate season.
To really invade Russia.
Yeah.
Because they're big and powerful.
It's too big. Because invading is probably wrong, right? Like, have we?
I guess that's wrong.
When have any of the invasions turned out to be good? Right? Unless you're reinvading something that someone else has invaded. But then I guess every invasion is a reinvasion of some kind, because everything's been invaded by everybody.
What about Easter Island? They just die out?
I don't think they did. I think there were still some people there, but they had pretty sad lives.
And then the tourists killed them.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, because they were like dodos. No, this is very racist. Sorry. Oh, I was about, because they were an indigenous people.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's great when you're just like three words into something and you realize it's racist.
Yeah. Would have been better if they were white people.
It would have been great if they were white people. Because
then we could have killed them.
Hang on, no, wait, that might be racist. No?
Yeah. Yelling, it would have been better if they were white, is not a good thought.
I know, but I mean, in terms of.
We made it worse elsewhere.
No, I just meant in terms of killing them in the sketch.
I only meant in terms of killing them.
So your idea to make this less racist is to cast white people as them in the sketch. Oh, my God.
No, okay.
I know what we'll fix this problem.
I mean, you can't say anything these days.
You're right. Could we invent an island where white people originate but mostly died out and then there's only three left and then tourists come and kill them?
Yeah. What about that giant plastic island?
Oh, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
Yeah.
One of the touchstones of the Two in the Think Tank podcast.
We definitely discuss it a lot. And I imagine there's a lot of white knights out there.
Like the candy bar?
Also like the candy rapper? Bar. I know it's 42% fishing lines, discarded fishing lines.
Yeah, what's the other 58%?
White night
white,
bars.
White night candy bar.
Oh, I thought you were saying white night bars are 42% fishing line. Oh, God. That's horrific.
Yeah, but they're pretty chewy.
But the recycling, you'd be impressed with how well fishing nets recycle, are made from recycled materials. White night bars.
Oh, right.
Do you think that if we put just a little bit of plastic into our food, we could eat it all and, deal with it that way?
Or become inoculated to the idea of having plastic in your
food? Sure.
You know?
But, you don't digest the plastic, but you chew it up and you would sort of maybe you if we, I think maybe one of the things is we need to do more, contribute more to the process of biodegrading foods, plastics,
mm-hmm.
our own plastic waste. So if just every meal that you make, you put in 1% just old plastic.
Yeah.
You grind it up or whatever. You have mm-hmm. a little machine, use a coffee grinder or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wouldn't notice it really in the food, I don't think.
That's true.
Unless your stomach acids and everything, it's like just getting a head start on that process of...
getting it started and deteriorating.
Yeah.
But what if you just held it in your cheeks, sort of like a hamster? Yeah,
this is interesting.
And so that's to keep it out of the ocean.
Also, if everyone put two bottle caps in their cheeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think if you ground it up, you could sort of get more because, a bottle cap is quite hollow. A lot of it's air.
Yeah.
So if you ground it up into little bits, you could really stuff it up in that part. Sort of between, your top row of teeth and your cheek.
Yeah, no one needs that part.
You don't use that almost ever.
That's storage.
Yeah.
I presume, yeah.
Wasted storage.
It might even be exactly. good for you because I reckon otherwise food gets caught up there and stuff.
And so it would be good because the plastic will sort of block that area from becoming full of food.
So I've been talking to some people who are pretty anti-fluoride at the moment, right? Mm. And one of the anti-fluoride conspiracies is that they wanted to get rid of fluoride because it's an industrial waste product, and the way that they decided to get rid of it was to convince governments to buy it off them to put into the water supply, which if you're trying to get rid of a waste product is one of the most insane plans
sure.
you could come up with, except perhaps for this one that we're coming up with right now.
Yeah.
And that is trick people into thinking there's a good reason to put plastic in your to keep plastic in your mouth.
They did convince us to put fluoride in our mouths though as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. So but the plastic could maybe protect your teeth from the fluoride.
Maybe. It could. Yeah, good.
Like when they introduce a species to kill the old species that went crazy. We're introducing this to take out the fluoride. And what will be introduced to take the plastic out of our mouths?
Probably one of those big nets that they have and that they're deploying to the great garbage patch to catch all the plastic.
Right.
Yeah.
So they can empty it out. So
like a mouth net. We have a mouth brush. We have a mouth net.
Yeah, mouth brush. You know, you've heard of brush toothbrushes?
Mouth brush, I believe.
Mouth brush.
What, do you only clean your teeth? There's a lot of other stuff in there.
Oh, no. What
you
is that?
Cheek brush, tongue brush.
Yeah.
Under the tongue brush.
Mm.
Do you guys brush under the tongue?
Hard palate brush, soft palate brush.
Roof of the mouth.
Wait, so like, am I writing in, do your bit, plastic in the cheeks?
Yeah, plastic in the cheeks. Yeah, do the right thing. Mate, you know, because it'll be one of those things where if you do the maths, you could probably work out that like, all everyone has to do is put two, you know, compacted milk bottles in their mouths and we'll eliminate 80% of the Earth's garbage.
Like in primary school when they're like, if everyone just picked up five pieces of rubbish, they just have to say, and put them in their mouths, the schoolyard would be spotless.
Well, also, if we all just used one room in our house to just fill up with garbage.
The garbage room?
Yeah. Then we wouldn't go back into nature.
Two bedroom, two bathroom, one garbage room house.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd pay more.
Hey? I mean, if you
it's
were...
It's kind of a study, kind of a bedroom, but it's probably more a garbage room.
Yeah.
We didn't put the bedrooms in Worcester and it says two because this, you can do what you want. Currently, it's a garbage room and it's very successful.
Yeah, it's doing really well. When guests come over, it's also a guest room. But they just lay on and throw out the garbage.
Yeah.
But there's garbage in their mouths. There's garbage under their backs. They don't notice the difference.
I mean, look, it's just ways of dealing with the waste epidemic. Because, I mean, look, I think we've probably come up with ideas like this before, you know, keep all emissions in the sky. Like if we were to just put them in a big balloon.
Have a sky fill.
Sky fill instead of landfill.
Like there's a lot of hot air balloons.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like plastic
bag. Or one really, really big one.
One big one like that. You just put all the
carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide in there. Like that. This is, I mean, I'm throwing old ideas at you here. Surely you can feel the staleness.
I know. There's a lot of carbon in the air.
There's a lot of carbon in the air. You know.
No, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's an old one. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
We just need reassurance.
Have any of these ideas ever made you rich? Have you ever said, that's not a sketch idea, but I'm going on that Shark Tank show, for example?
Well, we recently did an episode of our bonus Patreon podcast called Two in the Side Tank, where we came up with five business ideas.
Mm.
And all of them have made us rich.
Right.
Yeah.
Every single one made us rich.
Patreon makes you rich, baby.
Yeah. I'm actually
one way or another.
Five. Yeah. I'm five rich.
You're five. He's five rich. I'm just four and a half.
Whoa. How many garbage rooms do you have?
Mate, I can afford to have every room as a garbage room.
That's how rich he is.
Yeah, I have each room has a walk-in garbage room.
Each one of his rooms has its own colony of raccoons.
Wow, I am so jealous.
Yeah, you see, you know, I guess you're from a small town in Australia. You don't know about how raccoons like to go through garbage?
I saw a raccoon in Mexico.
Really? They go down that far south now?
I named him Michael.
Really?
Yeah.
They gave him like a normal English name.
No, I know. I called him Michael.
Oh, you called him Michael.
They didn't call him Michael.
What did they call him?
Oh, they didn't know. We didn't want to tell the hotel about him because we thought we'd...
He was in the hotel.
No, he was on our balcony. We left a drink out there and he was just sipping it.
What floor were you on?
The ground floor.
Good classic. Floor.
Yeah. Is that floor one or floor zero?
That's a really interesting question.
Yeah, or G.
I say start at like five, you know? A lot of those bottom levels are small numbers.
Mm.
And it makes it seem better when you're up the top as well. Give yourself a head start.
Have you ever been in a 100th floor room? Like, you know, 100th floor?
No, I haven't.
Mm. Yeah? 150?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't stop. Straight to the top.
Yeah. So Empire State?
I haven't been there, no.
No. Chrysler?
No. Keep listing New York buildings.
Singer building?
Singer?
Sewing machine building?
What's that one?
The
Twin Towers?
Rockefeller Center?
Rockefeller?
Mm.
Macy's? Day Parade?
Central Park?
You ever been to Central Park?
Central Perk.
First, another ground floor.
Yes.
Monk's Cafe?
Oh, yeah.
Joe's Diner. Is that the same thing?
Have you ever committed bigamy? What is bigamy? What is
being
bigamy?
Married to two people at once?
Is it?
Mm.
Is that bigamy?
It's also called living. Where I come from. I haven't been married once, but have been married two times.
That's hot. Las Vegas? I don't know why I'm asking these questions.
I have been to Las Vegas.
You have?
When I was 8 years old.
What did you do?
What a wasted journey.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, also, like, if circumstances had been very different, what an inspiring movie. Or, like, what a fun movie for kids. You know, if instead of Your Life, it had been a kids movie.
Right, and I somehow became like a professional poker player.
Exactly.
And I was only eight.
Yes. This is good. You tell everyone that you have some sort of a growth disorder.
Yes, and they're too embarrassed to question it.
Exactly, because of, like, it would have been, I figure this movie would have been made in the 90s where, that kind of a joke was very in, you know? The idea that people are too embarrassed to ask anything about your growth disorder. We could have used that as a major plot point.
Yes, despite the fact that I keep ordering pop tops to the table and eating less snacks, they still think, "Oh, this guy must be in his 30s."
See, Dave, I feel like that's something that you plausibly might still do anyway.
Yeah.
Four less snacks, please, sir. Anything you want. This guy's rolling in big.
Rolling in big.
I'm a professional table runner.
Hey, get out of my way. I'm rolling in big here. You know, well, he's talking the talk.
Well, no one really knows how to play craps. You just say words. That's... And then every now and then they just give someone $50.
And we call it like, what do we call it? Like low roller or like...
Yes.
Tiny roller.
I mean, that is a game in itself, though, is... It's just the game is the dealer at the table every now and then just decides to give somebody $50.
Wow. Okay.
Right, you get dice, you get chips and all shit like
so
that.
So there are no rules, you just move things around.
Some people are playing Guess Who.
Yeah, some people are playing Guess Who and occasionally like the dealer just gives somebody $50. Yeah. Bucks.
And then, like, you still get people who think they have a system as well.
Mm.
You know, like, yeah. Oh, no. I only play when I got a good hand. You know, I only go to the table when I've been watching the table for a while and I know that the numbers are coming good.
Yeah.
There is no system. It's just sometimes the croupier gives somebody $50.
It's an absurdist casino.
Yes.
Right? The people...
I like this so much.
You know, it's the people who... who run it? They either they're either hypnotized or they're deeply insane. You know?
Oh yes,
because at the moment there's not that many jobs for people who are completely insane.
No,
I mean there's a lot of jobs for people who are just have functioning mental illness. That's a lot of us.
Lots of jobs.
There's lots of jobs. If anything,
I open the paper on the weekend in the wanted section. I say so many looking for people who are functioning mentally ill.
Yeah.
But none say non-functioning.
No, nobody says but this... fully can't deal with it. With anything.
No.
Yeah.
And then what they do is they just give people who are now gainfully employed just a stack of 50s.
Right.
Right? But they put them in like a machine that only releases one every 35 minutes.
And you just give it to someone that you...
And then when it comes out, they go, well, what's this? And then they just give it to somebody. But they don't know when it's going to come out.
And what if it comes out every...
This is a really specific form of mental illness that, like, sort of makes people more or less standing in the same spot, not really bothering anyone. Well, but then when they get a $50 note from a thing on their front, they give it away to somebody. It's one of those illnesses.
Well, they're all really well off, so they don't value money.
That's true.
You know, and
that is a way to guarantee that
they're not gonna keep it or whatever, pocket it.
Make them all rich first.
Yeah.
So you have to be non-functioning and rich.
Yeah, but they're also
independently wealthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're not giving you the money.
Yeah. No. We can't just give away money here. Yeah. It's your job to give away money.
We only give away money every 35 minutes.
And they're hypnotized. So that just to make sure.
That is good.
Yeah.
What about...
okay, here's... Oh, no, you go.
I was going to say, rather than every 35 minutes, it randomly pops out.
Oh, that's good. I don't know. It feels like you're really messing with Al's vision here.
But then it becomes, you know, like it, someone might have two in a minute.
See, that's exactly. good, because then yeah. you wouldn't just see the guy give away $50 and walk away
yeah,
from him.
Yeah, for 30 seconds. You might be like, "Oh no, I reckon this guy's gonna pay up soon." All right, yeah. here we go.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes if you do something to them, right, it increases the chances of money coming out.
No, hang on, because then people can have a system.
I know, but you don't know what it is, and every time, there's one thing that you can do to that person. To increase the chances of them putting money.
Sure, but if there's something different every time, then why have anything at all? You know what I'm saying?
That's why it's so absurd. You see? So sometimes it's you show them a feather, right? But other times, it's you tweak your own nipples.
Right.
Like that. And then other
times...
people
are just trying different things.
Yeah, and then other times, you sort of jog in, on the spot behind them. Like that. And then $50 will just come out. But I then like you that. Won't see it. Because it'll become out the front because they're wearing a big trench coat. And some of them,
you know what, Alistair? You're right. This is an absurd casino.
And sometimes the people, the $50, they come out of their wrist like Spider-Man's web.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they shoot across the room.
Right. So even if you're the closest person, it goes over you to a random stranger on the other side of the casino.
Yeah, but...
yeah.
But then,
yes.
But then people are just spending money around you. I don't know why. How do we get people to spend money so that this is profitable for us?
Oh, I think you got to pay to be at the table.
Okay.
But you pay a random amount. The money comes out of your account automatically. In random
another
sums.
Gamble.
Yet another gamble.
Oh,
people
you got
to
give
them.
You got to give the casino your PIN number.
Yeah, and they're like, well, this. This lady's giving us $13. This man's giving us $1,300.
Yeah,
so he's got to stay there a lot longer to get his money back. She could leave after one round of 35 minutes.
That's right,
it's going to be ahead.
And this is the casino where it's also a gamble for the, for the casino.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. But if we're the owners of the casino, it's also a big gamble.
Yeah, because
this is ridiculous.
Because this has never been done before.
Yeah.
And we're probably lining ourselves up for some really expensive court cases.
Now, here's a slightly absurd thing. Don't know if this will fit into your vision.
Sure.
The poker machines, they dispense water instead of money.
Okay.
Right? Instead of like, you know, that crashing sound of all the coins coming out, you just hear like a spurt of water and you know somebody's got lucky.
Yeah, and then
a real gush.
So is the casino sort of, you just walk around in sort of sandals and you got about like 3 inches of water on the ground.
Yeah, a lot of the time, yeah.
Sploosh, sploosh, sploosh,
sploosh. Or what if you, it's really hot in the casino and we don't serve liquid. So that way when it gushes out, people that run over, they want the water.
Yeah,
to be able to stay in the casino. Because otherwise, if you don't get the water, you have to leave because you're so dehydrated.
That's good. So it's kind of like a survival biodome kind of casino.
I've been in here for 8 hours. That's a good run.
Yeah.
Because I've had a couple of wins. I've had a couple of liters of water.
Yeah. I've sweated a lot. But I've also had a few good cups.
Now, why would people come here?
Because it's the casino experience, but it's also the experience of like surviving in the like in a prehistoric time, which is a thing that we've kind of lost touch with.
Mm.
You know, when every day was a battle to make it through. Yeah. This is now taking that and turning it into an experience you can have on the Gold Coast.
So then should.
Yes, perfect.
Should the sort of the croupier guys then
dressed as apes?
I was going to say dressed as trees.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of more like the old days where you'd find a fruit tree, and hope for it. But instead, every fruit tree has pineapples.
Oh yeah. Huh? Actual pineapples.
Pineapples.
And inside the pineapples are $50 notes.
$50 notes
stuffed in the middle.
Yeah. For anybody who's not from Australia, pineapple in Australia is a $50 note.
That nobody uses. Nobody uses that euphemism.
Everybody uses it.
Nobody uses that.
You guys both knew what I was talking about straight away because people know and people use it.
Yeah, but nobody ever uses it in a real context. People
I know.
Only ever use it in a comedy context where they're like, something about pineapples.
All right.
Comedy.
Yeah, and they move their shoulders.
Comedy context is a context
that
people need
me.
To know about in order so that we can travel. Okay, are there dinosaurs in this casino?
I mean, that seems a bit unrealistic.
Could that be the toilets?
A giant?
Did you say gynosaur?
Gynosaur.
A vaginosaur?
I mean, is that the sign on one of the toilets?
I guess, I mean, that would be one of them. I guess the sort of, it feels like, I know this is going to seem really silly, but you know that like a brachiosaurus? That feels like the kind of dinosaur that you could sort of sit on and pee and it would just run down the side like that.
I feel like that's any dinosaur. Yeah, you sit on it and pee, it's going to run down the sides. That's not just the brachiosaur, Alistair. Yeah.
Well, some of them are too small. What about, you know?
Too small to what? For what, liquid to run off them?
But what about that one in Jurassic Park? With the flaps on the side of its head.
The one that takes out Newman.
It kills Newman.
That sounds like the vaginosaur.
No, it's not. The vaginosaur is the brachiosaurus that you pee on. Oh, you're right. I just apologize. I'm such an idiot. But no, but this one spat like a sticky goo.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, God.
Into his eyes.
It's like the vaginosaur.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's what they do.
Okay, do you think that this is a... Now, I think, is this the right forum in which to pitch a sort of a body positivity book for women called Vaginosaur?
Okay.
And it's all the different types of vaginas, but they all live in some sort of prehistoric jungle. Us three guys, we can work out right now.
Right, so this is like a picture book for kids?
Yeah, it's a picture book for kids. It's all vaginas. They all look different, and they all live happily together in some sort of prehistoric ecosystem. Maybe so it's just called Gynosaur rather than Vaginosaur, because maybe that's a bit full on, but just Gynosaur.
We
are aiming for a kid's.
Exactly.
Kids.
Remember, you've got to remember this is PG.
This is for kids,
this ecosystem of vaginas is still a kid's book.
Yeah. No, that's right. So I think Gynosaur is a bit sort of like more kid friendly.
Softens it. The va is very offensive.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Look, this is a slightly different variation.
Oh, okay.
It's the same idea, but instead of dinosaurs, it's Pokemon.
Great.
And it's called Volvasaur.
Yeah, no, I like your idea. Is it for kids?
Well, yeah, no. Oh, no, this is... No, okay, so then what are we doing? Like, are we going...
It's a sketch. It's a morning TV show.
Okay.
And there's a somebody who's come on the show to promote their book called Gynosaur, which is...
Gynosaur for kids.
Yeah.
Do we have to specify that it's for kids, or will the drawings sort of...
I don't think it's clear.
Yeah, okay, great. Gynosaur.
Yeah.
Gynosaur book.
And
So you go, hey, Lewis and Gabby, you guys have both come on here to promote your new book.
That's right. I wrote it, and Gabby illustrated it.
Hi,
yes,
Gabby.
I am quite a famous illustrator.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well done. And so can you guys...
I'm a nobody. Yeah.
I did him a big favor.
How did you guys meet?
On the street.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. She was trying to get away from me.
But he's very fast.
Yeah, right.
I agreed to a 7-book deal to make him go away.
Yeah, that's okay. Sometimes that's... You know, I think in France, they're trying to make street harassment a crime.
Ooh la la.
Yeah. That would have saved you.
Yeah. But instead, I'm drawing vaginosaurs.
Right. And so where did you guys get the inspiration for all these gynas?
Lewis, I'll let you feel this one.
Well, I went to that museum in Tasmania, and I just copied them all from the wall there.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was plagiarism.
But you...
All the vaginas are plagiarized.
But you only wrote about them.
I described them in excruciating detail. And then I had
there
him
were
replicate.
Pages of detail.
And I saw that artwork in that Hobart gallery. None of them look like dinosaurs. So did you...
I just added scales.
You just added scales.
Scales and legs, yeah.
Right. And... How does this story sort of work for kids?
Well, I think it just...
to choose your own adventure.
Yes, exactly.
Pick your vagina sword at the start.
But it's one in which there are no wrong endings. Like, there's no endings in this choose your own adventure where the school burns down.
Mm.
Or your bus goes into a lake.
So, but the message is in the end is that no matter what your dinosaur looks like, it's great.
Yeah, yeah, it's great, and it has a happy life in the jungle, in the vajungle.
And what is this? What is this carnivorous dinosaur that just eats all the other ones?
That's a metaphor.
I think there needs to be a book like this for, you know, circumcised and non-circumcised men don't.
Interact
at all.
Well, I'm sure there are some forms in which they interact.
But only because they don't know.
What do you mean?
Undeclared.
But, like, there's just... I don't feel like you get any kind of exposure to the others.
Well, once again, I'm sure, like, you know, gay men probably compare... You know, to a certain extent.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Instead of guys who get changed.
Yeah, which I will never do.
Well, I've started having to go to the pool, and now I'm getting more used to just like men who just stand nude in the change.
Are you also nude?
Well, because I do it with my 2-year-old. I go there with the 2-year-old, and yeah. So the only time I have any kind of nudeness, but it's usually only half a bod at a time. Is when I'm taking wet off and then putting some dry undies on. And so now I've kind of accepted that this is just part of my life.
Yeah, is to be naked with those men in that changing
just
room.
Just with the men. But just,
and with your son.
But just how comfortable some guys are with just being there and standing there for a long period of time.
I wish I was that comfortable.
I don't know. I don't think that's okay.
You don't think so? But they're happier, I think.
Yeah. But at everyone else's expense, right?
Well, I know, but all the people that they hang around seem to be okay with it.
The norms of a situation should be defined by the whatever's acceptable to the most uncomfortable person in the room.
I know, but what about
and that's
some...
almost always me. And so I should be able to say what happens.
I know, but then you think about how, you know, your life would be restricted by somebody's anxiety problem.
Hugely. I'd be like, oh, I've had enough of your anxiety. Stop being so unhappy and stressed about your life.
You wouldn't be able
to. I'm trying to stand naked in a changing room.
You look over and someone's having a panic attack surrounded by old men's penises.
They're all so different. I wasn't prepared for this by a children's book.
Which is where we come in.
Yes.
I mean, that would be... For the male version of that children's book, if it was set in a sort of a gym locker room,
Tyrannosaurus penis,
yeah, or
perfect,
penis rectactyl.
How many silent T's are there?
You know, I said perfect, Dave, and. I think you wouldn't begrudge me changing my vote.
I know when I've been beaten.
Yeah.
I know.
Wait, what did you say?
Tyrannosaurus penis. Which we can all admit is very good.
No, yeah, that is
yours good. Was excellent.
Penis dactyl?
Patina's dactyl.
And so they have wings.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but they're more gliders. They don't look... I mean, I guess they flapped, didn't they?
Yeah,
they would have flapped. They didn't just walk onto the top of a mountain and then just dive.
Every time they want to go anywhere, they have to walk to the top of a mountain.
Yeah. And they're not built for walking as well.
They're not good. They don't have a good time.
Which of the dinosaurs do you think had the best time? Are they looking into this?
I mean, are they looking... You seen this? These dinosaurs, they having a good time? I mean, they're all dead. It couldn't have been that great. Well, look. Pterodactyls could fly. They had the gift of flight. That seems really fun.
Yes. But it's better to give than to receive.
That's true. So if there was a creature that could give the
gift of flight.
gift of flight. Sort of like, was there some kind of catapulting dinosaur?
A lot of them, they had various different weapons on them, right? Much more than we seem to have in today's Animal Kingdom. Like, you had the one with the spikes, you had the one with the big big ball, you had the ones with the horns,
you had
the ones with the things down the back, all the ridges like a chainsaw.
Oh, you know, those ones, apparently they could get all red when they were angry.
Really?
They could make them red.
Is this a Stegosaurus?
Yeah, like Stegosaurus.
Stegosaurus.
They could just fill it up with blood and change the color to kind of as a warning.
They were already my favorite.
This will be great for our penis analogy.
Yes, that'll fill be perfect. Fill it with
patina pterodactyl.
Blood as a warning.
Blood and rage.
Stay away from him.
I don't know what it is about you, David, but this has become a very sexual podcast. And you've clearly brought all of it.
Oh, all those ideas. Vaginosaurs, patinastactyl, they were all me. All me, and I apologize.
I think when you said patinastactyl, you took quite a few P's and stutters out of what was Al's original pitch for the title.
Sort of changed the idea in a fair
way. I apologize.
You really edited down, streamlined it a lot, and I think it lost a lot of its charm.
I didn't mean to editorialize your title.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay.
Was there anything in any of that stuff?
Well, that was just another penis. That was just another penis.
I mean, we started with the casino.
Yes. Yes. Did we write anything down about the water at the casino? And well, that idea.
I just wrote down absurdist casino.
Yeah, okay, great. That's
should fun. I be writing / biodome /
yeah,
survival?
Like survival casino? Yeah. I wonder if Crown Casino actually has a crown. Like, do you think if you won all their money, you get the crown?
They legally have to give you a crown.
Is that like clocking Donkey Kong or something like that?
Yeah, if you could become king. Is there like a way that you could become the utmost, like the sort of in charge?
Yeah, well, I think you once you get all the money, mm-hmm. do you own the casino?
Or do you have to, or is that the last thing that they give you, the ownership rights?
Do you think that you could do, because you know how like in those back room poker games, people always like put in their wedding room and their ring and their watch, which by the way, watches these days like fucking keep it, all right? It's a burden if anything.
I'd rather not win that. People, like, if you go all in, you take your watch off the table.
This episode was brought to you by Movement Watches. I'm currently wearing a Movement watch. Big supporters of the Planet Broadcasting Network. I hope they don't just randomly listen to all the episodes on the network.
Randomly, all of them.
Randomly, all of them, Alistair. All of them randomly.
I guess it would be random if they just listened
that
to all
so
of them.
That is so random that we've listened to all of them.
900,000 hours of podcasts.
Yes. And we found one that didn't satisfy us. No, okay, but this, right, I'd like to, at some point, you're doing so well, even if it's just on a poker machine, you're having such a run of luck that the head of the casino comes down and says, all right, we're betting the casino on this next run on the poker machine. You pull the thing and it comes out like eight cherries,
and they're 14 like, cherries.
There aren't even that many cherries on the thing. You did really well.
Yeah.
Do you think if you brought a couple of cherries up your sleeve, you could like stick them on like stickers?
Absolutely.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And then you get the casino. Because also, once you've got all the money, the casino's worthless anyway. They might as well throw it in.
Well, you know, there's the land that it's on.
No, that's true. It's probably quite valuable.
Oh, but then I think the Crown Casino is renting that for, it's like a 99-year lease for a dollar or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked.
Did you know about
that? Yeah, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's cheap, isn't it? That's cheap.
It seems cheap because they also seem to have quite a lot of money. Like, relative to the amount of
whoever
money.
Whoever negotiated that thought, these guys don't have much.
Yeah.
A dollar. All right, we'll take it.
Yes.
A casino.
And you're going to call it Crown.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, God.
It's going to be a big building where you just take people's money off them. Oh, dear.
God, I really should have Googled the meaning of the word casino.
Now, we've all agreed that watches, they don't do enough to justify the real estate that they take up on your body.
I think what the one thing they've done, though, is they've really capitalized on an area of the body that wasn't doing that much anyway. Like the wrist is a bit of a nothing, you know.
But I think what they did by establishing that space as a place that could be used for function is they actually quite increased the value of the real estate there.
Right, much like Crown Casino did with South Bank, which was a bit of a wasteland beforehand.
That's right. Dave would agree.
Yes, absolutely.
Have you lived here your whole life?
Yeah.
And it was what was there before Crown?
Swamp?
Was swamp? I think the crocodiles?
Yeah.
I think it was a real problem because the crocodiles were getting out and
did they still have those
killing
big
people?
Flames?
Yeah, that was to keep the crocodiles on the toe.
Okay, right. So
that
now
was burning off the methane from the swamp.
Yeah, ooh.
And so now you would agree that your wrist is no longer the swamp it once was.
No.
And it's deserving of like some kind of good function.
Absolutely.
But now we got to figure out what.
What about a spike?
Like if we want to put, eh?
What about a big spike?
Okay. like one of those ones to stop pigeons landing there?
Well, that's how valuable the real estate has become.
Yeah, well, that's true. You gotta
pigeons start, want to feed on it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, that'd be, I mean, that's not crazy.
It's the perfect
perk. That's how you know real estate is valuable, by the way. When the pigeons are interested, when they want to feed somewhere.
That's when the billionaires swoop in.
Mm-hmm. I saw an article in Domain section of the newspaper just yesterday, which was, five Melbourne suburbs where we've seen a lot of pigeons recently. So... Yeah, so that's a good sign.
And you read that article.
Prices might be going up. I read the whole thing.
Whoa.
Yeah. Not just the headline.
That would just be the sign of a should be a sign of a successful person.
You have got a pigeon on them?
Either they have a pigeon on them or they have spikes preventing pigeons from landing.
Oh, right, because it's saying to the world, pigeons want this.
Yeah, pigeons need this.
And what do pigeons like? Statues.
What are statues of?
Important people.
Yeah.
Hello.
We're here.
Why wait? Get a pigeon now. Get a pigeon. The pigeon in life, and it's like dress for success, right? Because you make yourself look like the statue you want to have made of you after
death. Yeah, dress for the statue you want to be.
Because not only if you dress up all green like a copper statue that has aged, right? And you've got pigeon spikes on you, and you've hired some pigeons to sort of circle you.
Hired them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It not only suggests that you're successful, but you've been successful for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. You know? Like I was once clean.
Yeah. And you're not like some new success.
Like a football player.
Yeah, like a football player or somebody who won the lottery.
Right, you're old money.
You're old money, but not just money. To get a statue, you don't just have money. You've done something like
win the lottery.
No. Bigger than that. Like invade a country or govern.
Yes.
Govern over a successful period.
Mm. Yes. And so that's why you want to look like a copper statue. Yeah?
Dress.
Yeah.
Four.
Now, what if you could have a lottery and you could win a lottery, but instead of giving you money, they just gave you a lot of fame? You know, just made you... Because that's what people want these days, is fame. Right?
Right. Are you prevented from making money from the fame?
No, I think if you know what you're doing, you can monetize it, sure. I feel like that's what the Kardashians did.
Well, I mean, is this just viral videos?
It is, in a way. Yeah.
But so, I guess something good, like the lottery is life. And something funny happening to you whilst being filmed.
Is your number coming up?
Is your number coming up.
Yeah. And I guess the thing is that a lot of people like lotteries, they blow that fame. That fame doesn't last. Right, but then you see some people who make that fame really last, like Chrissy Swan, who was on Big Brother and now has a successful radio career.
That's right.
Thank you.
So she got picked in the lottery.
Well, you know, it was definitely, it wasn't exactly like a viral video because it was like it took some casting people to
decide. It was a TV show.
And it was a TV show. But let's say Antoine, what's his last name?
Dodson.
Antoine Dodson. You know, he said, you know, so hide your wife, hide your husband.
Oh, right. Yes, I know that video.
This guy, because they'd be raping everybody out here. That guy. I don't know if he turned that into success. Did he get a TV show?
I think he bought a house. I think he got money out of the rap video that they made out of it. And he was able to, like, buy his family a house or something.
See?
God, you guys know a lot more about this Antoine Dodson than I did.
Did you follow his career?
Not as closely as you.
We've specifically brought you onto the podcast, Dave, to sort of humiliate you for your lack of knowledge about Antoine Dodson.
Dodson.
I would like to go on to a show like Einstein Factor or Hard Quiz and have my...
That's your topic.
Have my topic being Antoine Dodson.
But also, I would like Dave to have been invited along and him... To not even realize that he's actually going on the Einstein Factor or whatever hard quiz kind of show. And he just has to be there while... And he also gets asked questions about
him. And he's in the team with you.
Yes.
But you've brought him on to mock him and make him seem like a real idiot.
Yeah, less of a man.
Less of a... And you've invited his family and his girlfriend.
Yes.
And...
Everyone's here, David.
And you said,
"Oh dear."
And you said to them, "You've been doing a lot of stuff behind Dave's back while preparing for this show." You said to him, "This is Dave's favorite topic, and he knows everything about this."
Oh, so he says, "Really build up quite
but
a lot."
It's so important to him; he's afraid to talk about it, which is why he's hidden it from you
You're
guys.
Right? You've never heard him talk about Antoine Dodson before.
But he reckons that this defines him as a person.
And if this doesn't go well today, he's leaving forever.
Society.
He is going to join the Moray Eels. And that's not a football team.
That's an aquatic beast.
Yeah, it's an aquatic beast. And you have agreed, and this is a contract that I got you to sign, that you will no longer use...
So were you tricked him because you got him to sign something? Like, you were asking him to witness a document about you becoming an organ donor or something.
Yeah, and it was...
But then you had carbon paper under there and you had a different contract underneath.
I had a different thing. He thought it was like a... Yeah, it was both an organ donor card, but also... A release form for the TV show that you're going on to humiliate yourself. And you actually agreed that you were no longer going to use your arms and legs separate from your torso and body.
Well, they're going to be stapled to my side.
Everything is going to be stapled together. Stapled together, and you're going to just become as long as you've ever been. You're going to become your longest. You point your toes at all times.
Yeah.
Right? And you were going to become aquatic. Right, and you, in the document, promised that you would survive exclusively off of air bubbles in caves underwater.
Fuck.
And you are going to look like such an idiot. And I'm going to take your family.
What, do you win my family?
Hey, I win your family, and I'm going to take them... In those mini submarines, one at a time, and take them to your caves. Well,
you and James Cameron are going to go down and visit me.
And I'm going to take them into the cave, and we're going to watch you from afar, and we're going to laugh.
The question is...
That is such a good prank. That is such a good prank.
The question is,
that is
why?
An epic prank.
And you're going to say, and we're going to go, he didn't know anything about Antoine Dodson like that. And I'm going to make out with every part of everybody you love.
Is that part of the contract?
No, that'll just be for pleasure. Everything else there along the way was business. Okay. And that's part of my new YouTube prank show.
What a sketch idea ruined Dave's life.
Yeah.
Doing Dave's Life with Antoine Dudson based game show.
Do you reckon you could have a game show in which the winner gets like a car, but then the loser has to leave society?
Well, I basically, there was a show I once saw on like a late night American show. It was called Repo Games. Oh my God, it's so awful. A guy rocks up to people's house and they haven't paid the installments on their car.
Fuck.
It gets jacked up on a tow truck. You get given 5 questions, and if you can answer 3 or more, they lower your car, you get to keep it. But if you only get, if you get 2 or less right, they drive away with your car, and you handshake and agree that that's what's going to happen. And every time you get a question right, it either lowers the car or goes up.
Wow.
It was insane.
How high can it go?
To the moon.
Oh my God.
What a crazy. And then they squash it against the moon, and just, then they bring it down. They say, there you go.
There you go. You can keep that after all.
Yeah, that's really
it was horrific.
That's really messed up, and I think that's the sort of thing that maybe you can only have when the economy is doing okay.
What
if there's a real downturn, and everybody's doing it tough, it will probably lose a lot of its appeal.
No, but then again, you know, it makes you feel good to see that you're not the only one doing poorly, and it would also bring you hope. To know that you could get out of losing your car
there
by
is
just
a
having
way out.
General knowledge.
There is
you
hope.
Could win a car. Unfortunately, all the questions are based on Antoine Dudson, and I lost all my cars.
Well, you
and
know,
this was well before he was in the news.
Well, we have a certain number of things that are
written down
barely capable of being recognized as sketches.
Right.
Today,
do we have some words from a listener?
But we have some words from a listener.
Okay.
I'm really sorry about my cough. It's worse than it's ever been.
It's okay, Andy.
Thanks for that. I needed to hear that.
Well, it's okay. I mean,
I needed to hear that as well.
And
that I could have done
without. Did you know Andy cannot handle the sound of people eating?
Really?
Yeah, it's an appalling way to behave from me, and it's deeply hypocritical because obviously the sound of me eating doesn't bother me, and as long as I'm eating, I'm not bothered by other people's mouth sounds. But as soon as I have to do something else, or I stop eating, or I run out of food, other people's mouth sounds really, really makes me really uncomfortable and a little bit angry.
And he hasn't worked on himself at all.
I've done nothing to try and get through.
You've just accepted that this is a thing that
I wouldn't say I've accepted it.
And he'll just work on kitchen benches instead.
That's right, I work on kitchen benches. This is a very specific off-pod conversation now that
we should never eat together. Because I'm, one, a slow eater. You would definitely beat me.
That's right, there's going to be so much dead air.
And two, a very loud chewer.
Really? But you have such a small mouth.
I know, but my jaw clicks. Does that annoy you, a clicking jaw?
I dare say that would annoy me. That seems like the sort of thing that would really grind my gears, Dave.
Whoa, what a cavernous click.
Picking that up? Is it coming through there? Is this thing on?
Yeah, I'm getting that, Dave. But that's not you clashing your teeth together.
I mean, that is my teeth.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone can do that, Dave.
Oh, my God. But my jaw does click when I've got food in there.
I'm amazed our teeth don't shatter more.
Yeah, and when I bite, I bite quick and hard on all my food. Yeah.
I love that you eat in that way and yet you judge others.
Yeah, like a dog eating a noodle.
I hate it when
they don't know how to use their lips. I actually sort of suspect that maybe dogs don't really have much control over their lips. They just sort of flap around.
I think if you sort of gave dogs, if you gave them sort of bowls of ramen, sort of without the liquid.
Okay.
Yep.
But you just put them slightly out of reach of their mouth. So you kind of have to create a hole that goes up to their shoulders, and you have to measure it for each dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of keep them just out of
maximum
reach of the noodles.
Maximum extension.
Then they would have to start learning to use their lips. You'd have to cut off their tongues. You have to cut off their tongue so they don't use their tongue, because you know dogs, they use their dog their tongue as a crutch.
Yeah, you're so, right. That tongue does has been doing them a lot of.
You could just tape it down. It's cruel to.
It's hard to tell people a lot of the time when you say something like "we had to cut off the dog's tongue." Yeah. Tongues. A lot of people don't believe you. That you had to, but I'm sure if you explained that situation, Alistair, people would be like, no, you're right. I can see why in that scenario you had to cut off the dog's tongues.
Yeah, because you're trying to teach them and their species how to use their lips.
How to slurp.
Because, how to slurp, because they don't... Because, and then I think if you could teach a dog to slurp, then you're not that far from teaching a dog to whistle.
Yes.
You know?
And then... Dogs can communicate. You could get a dog who could be the master of another dog in a sheepdog trial.
Yeah.
And now you've really got my attention.
But you get it. That's a dog has a manager. It's also a dog.
Yeah. And hello? And then dogs could start maybe have their own money.
And then dogs could have their own money. Anyway, then we have some words for us.
We wanted to get there and we did. How to get dogs to earn their own money.
Dave, I'm sorry about this episode of the podcast. I'd love to have you on a different time.
I've enjoyed myself immensely.
We're about to do your pod. Do you want to promote it?
Oh, yeah. Maybe it'll have been released by the time this comes out. Is this
this will come out tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is coming out tomorrow.
All right, well, sometime in October,
the
month following this when it comes out, I'm releasing a new pod called Book Cheat, which is a bit of a spin-off of my other podcast, Do Go On, where basically I read a classic book.
Yeah, or play.
Or play. Basically the stuff that you'd love to be able to say you read, but who's got the time?
Almost nobody.
Nobody, but I've made the time.
You definitely don't have the time.
I don't have the time, but I've made the time, and I'm killing myself to do this show. But I want to, and then I tell two people all about the book, you know, the plot, the characters, the key themes. So by the end of it, both the listener and the two guests can pretend that they've read it.
It's a really, really good idea.
So you go to a party with arrogant, awful people, and you can pretend that you've read, you know, Charles Dickens, Jane Austen, that kind of thing.
Probably everyone else at the party is all also just listeners to the podcast.
So basically, pretending. I could just make up the plot, and then everyone's telling each other the fake plot to the Pride and Prejudice.
You should slip in a few fake ones just to see.
Yeah,
because that's how you know when you hear people talking about that book at different parties. Yeah. That's how you know that they're listeners of your pod.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh.
Those are the real stats.
Yeah. Yeah, going to a party and seeing if people are... talking about a made-up character from Hard Times.
Yeah, and then you can take that anecdote and go down to Harry's Razors and tell them that, and they'll know that you've got real listeners.
Yeah.
That's how you make it big.
That's how you make it big in this industry. We would know, as the smallest podcast on the planet broadcasting network.
Well, Book Cheat hasn't been released yet, so...
Is it going to be Planet Broadcasting?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right.
But it already has bigger downloads than we do, Alistair. Yeah.
That's great. Okay. These words come from our Patreon, very recent Patreon listener.
Supporter.
Tabitha Post.
Tabitha, thank you so much for supporting the podcast.
Thank you ever so much.
I definitely know that name, Tabitha Post.
I think she might support Do Go On.
I think she definitely is
at least a listener.
At least a tweeter.
Yeah.
Hello, Tabitha Post. It's very possible that we've stolen her from you.
I did notice a Patreon dip lately. Tabitha?
Tabitha?
Making choices? Tough choices, all right?
No, they are tough. They're tough. But, you know.
But then we get you on our pod. Best of all worlds.
That's right.
All possible
exactly.
worlds.
Exactly. Now she'll...
Now you can cancel Do Go On.
You can focus directly on...
On reading
book
books.
Cheap.
Book Cheat. Book Cheap. It is quite a cheap podcast. Cheap for...
To make,
but taxing of my time.
That's right.
Which is money, so it's not cheap.
And the three words are dragon, magic, mishap.
Dragon, magic, mishap.
Which you can also read as mishap.
Do you think it's mishap?
It could be mishap.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dragon, magic, mishap. Okay, Tabitha.
Weird choice.
bit of a weird word, that one there. Anyway, can you have then a mishappening? Because that's a good word, isn't it? A mishappening.
Mishappening.
There was a mishappening.
The mishappening. That sounds like the name of a film.
Stephen King novel.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Now, sorry. Did you have something that you wanted to observe about these words? Because I have a mild observation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing that I have observed. Is this preponderance, this obsession in fantasy novels and sort of magical literature of that sort of thing with the importance of people's true names? Have you seen this?
Have you seen this?
I went through a bit of a fantasy phase when I was in high school, reading a lot of fantasy novels and stuff. Yeah. And there was it seemed to be a trope about how, like, you know, knowing the true name of someone or something would give you power over them in some way. There was one particular series that I read that was all about dragons, where if you knew someone or a dragon's true name, you could have power over it. What's all that about?
Well, I guess it's much. I mean, maybe it's a metaphor for
identity theft.
Identity theft, and how you can, you know, if you have somebody's true name, you could probably track them down on Google.
Track them down on Google. Maybe get a driver's license under their name. Maybe make some credit card fraud.
Or you could, like, you know, have pizzas sent to their house and things like that. It's right. Kind of
so like a dragon, like say Smaug or something.
Yeah,
you could buy a lot of pizzas and have them sent to
Smaug's house.
Yeah, whatever that mountain was that he was in.
You know the mountain?
Mount Smaug.
Mount Goldsmaug.
Smaug Lane.
Smauglin.
Yeah, he'd been there for a while. You know how when you see like a street name and the family's got that street name and they're still living there?
Yeah, like Brick Lane.
Brick Lane, that's... Yeah.
Johnny Brick.
Johnny Brick. And Johnny JB. And the Bricks have lived there for hundreds of years.
You know, we did good examples on this show.
Yeah, Main Street,
Johnny Main,
Tabitha Main. I mean, look, I would have said Post. Post doesn't seem like a real street, so I would have said Post Street. And then we would have all laughed at some name.
And how bad an example that was.
And then, ah, ha, 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 silly. But then, you see, right here, it's written down in blue ink.
It's official.
It's official. It's real. All right.
When you say something's written, it's written here in black and white, right? Black and white. It's written here in black and white. Yeah. It's not. It's written in black. The white was already there. It's not written in white.
I know, but if it was
in
all...
In no sense is it written in white.
I know, but if it was all black, then
it would still
be written
in black.
But it wouldn't be written. Yeah, you wouldn't see it.
No, you'd black. Be able to detect it using something.
Yeah, but it's written in black, deciphered in white.
Yeah, deciphered in white.
That's really true. That's what gives it meaning. The negative space around it. The absence of ink. Yes. Really, it's written in white. So we got to the bottom of it.
Yes.
No further questions.
Well, black is there's nothing there.
White. Unless.
Unless there is something there. Ink.
Black ink. Okay.
Well, hang on.
Oh, is this a paradox?
We're back at the start. Tabitha, is this what you wanted?
Okay.
Would you like your $8 back? We do refunds, by the way. If you're an $8 supporter of the podcast and you're not happy with what we've done with your
what
three
are you
words,
doing?
Send a stamped, self-addressed envelope.
That's how you get out. How you get out.
Yeah, we're relying on
you. Just got to find out our address, though.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you that.
Yeah, because you have power over someone if you know their address. Become,
if you know their real address.
What about this? We'll start a new level of the Patreon.
Yeah.
$12.
Okay.
If you sign up, we'll tell you our real address.
Okay, that's a good one.
That is dangerous. That is very dangerous.
But if people want their $8 back, they've got to sign up for $12. Get our addresses.
So you keep four.
Exactly. Still turning a profit.
Oh, so it's just like a four. And so every month we send them $8?
And we move.
Okay, but how much is that going to cost us in postal and removalists?
Maybe Tabitha Post can tell us.
Okay, what about this? This is like it's a medieval thing, like you were saying. But
I'm really embarrassed about what I just said, by the way.
What'd you say?
I said maybe Tabitha Post can tell us. This is a post thing.
Oh, Andy.
I know.
Tabitha's had
so
enough of this injury in her life.
Hell, I know. Like, I've had all those Matthews jokes. I'm sick of them.
Can I hear one?
Matt Hughes. He gets all these Matt Hughes jokes as well.
Based on the colours that they're not particularly shiny, you know? What is this? A non-gloss Auburn?
Oh, and he goes. He gets bullied by people who work in sort of commercial printing businesses that he's frequenting.
Oh, that's really going to show marks.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to clean that with a sponge.
Yeah.
Oh, these are good bullies.
Yeah. They are. Yeah.
It's really good.
We got to come up with a dragon magic. I was just trying to come up with the idea, your idea, if you know his real...
address.
Name.
Name.
Right. That you have power over him, but his name is his PIN number.
Smaug. He had a huge pile of gold. They pretty much did. Wasn't there something with a bird tapping on a rock or something? That is more or less exactly what it's like when you use an ATM machine.
See, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the book The Hobbit. And indeed, the movie The Hobbit, there was a Smaug lived in a mountain. The mountain, let's say, was an ATM, right? There was a bird that tapped on the wall, right, with its beak that opened a secret passageway.
Okay.
Right? This is or less exactly typing in a pin into the console of the ATM machine.
So you're saying that banks were inspired by The Hobbit?
I'm saying that
medieval. Those were that. But The Hobbit was set in the past, so the banks would have come up with the idea based on that bird.
And they were going in there to, withdraw the gold.
Withdraw it.
Make a withdrawal.
Yeah.
Right. So this is all a big ATM metaphor. The Hobbit.
But okay. So then look. All I know about The Hobbit is that at some point. There's a bunch of bearded men in barrels.
That's correct. They are dwarves.
Okay, and what do they do in the bank?
They're going to make the withdrawal from the...
Okay, so the movie is based around a bunch of men in barrels.
Yes, it's called An Unexpected Journey, I think, is sort of the subtitle of it. And that's, I guess, the trip to the ATM.
When you go to a Chinese restaurant and they don't... Except
they're cash only.
They're cash only.
Or the FPOS minimum is $45.
I just find that outrageous.
It's ridiculous.
It's you know what? It's silly.
Yes, that's a better word.
Mm. It's absolutely preposterous.
So can we do anything with The Hobbit being an ATM? I don't see why the estate of Tolkien can't bring a lawsuit against the inventors of the ATM because it.
Great.
It pretty much exactly is that.
Well, there's too many, you know, one musician suing another musician for stealing sort
yes.
of, you know,
the estate of Marvin Gaye suing Ed Sheeran, the estate of Marvin Gaye suing Blurred Lines.
But from that, why not like the guy who wrote The Crow suing The Cure for coming up with
Looking depressed.
Copyright. They should have copyrighted their depression.
Yeah. Or, you know, like something else. Look, or, you know, Tolkien suing people who invented ATM machines saying that he actually invented it.
It's all in there. All right. Right?
I reckon Marvin Gaye is a slippery slope before Tolkien sues.
Absolutely. And it all starts with Marvin Gaye's estate. Yeah. Laura Banks? Oh, no. Would you say?
All the banks. But Laura Banks, watch out.
Yeah.
You're one of those banks. You're one of them.
So there you go, Tabitha. That's your sketch. It's another classic court case to the think tank sketch.
Hope she's a Hobbit fan.
Oh, I assume so.
Well, your dragons, magic. It's got all of that.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And then also sort of financial transactions. Isn't that the best magic of all? All right, guys, we have. I'm sorry about this. Look, there's going to be a few. Anyway,
we'll get through this together. That's what we're here for.
Use planes and high diving.
Yeah. Stand by that, 100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic in the cheeks to sort of stop it from going into the ocean and things like that.
Yeah, a couple of bottle caps each. We're saving the world here.
Having a garbage room. In your house?
I also, just to go back to the planes and the skydiving and the high diving, even if we can't take in planes, I think they should at least introduce into the high diving that thing that those stunt planes have where they shoot a whole lot of like smoke out the back. I just like to see that when people dive, they've got some sort of thing strapped to maybe like their bum. So it looks like they're doing a very colourful fart.
Yes.
And it all sort of weaves through the air.
Love
it,
that.
Like, it's not going to affect, it's not going to be any detriment to their ability to dive. It'll just be a little bit more spectacle.
And they're spinning, so it's like doing all sorts of crazy manoeuvres.
And I think it would up, down, across.
It would help the common man understand a bit more about what they did, because I don't really know what they did. You know when they do something?
Yeah, you can follow the trail.
Yeah, you follow the trail. You can look back at the trail and go, oh, they kind of did a twisty thing.
Yeah, because it's so fast otherwise.
Yeah, it's too fast.
It's all over.
They should have to do it in slow-mo.
Yes. Right.
And they should do some stuff, more stuff where they go up.
They should have to put like helium in their blood.
They keep going up.
Well, I mean, imagine how many points you would get for that.
Like the 30-meter dive is now a 3-kilometer dive.
Hey, here's an idea. What if you took a deep breath of helium or hydrogen before diving just to give yourself that extra half a centimeter, half a second in the air?
I wouldn't be at all surprised. I mean, I wonder if they test for this.
They could probably test for helium. They go, how'd you go? And he goes, oh, my God. And then you go, busted. Talking to this instead of pee into this.
Yes, good.
But then you could fill your bladder with helium.
What are they?
Pee into this. And they hold a cup above you.
And they hold a balloon.
And then they breathe in. You're nicked.
This is the only way to test.
It's going.
And this would bring us back to the circumcised, uncircumcised thing, because I imagine I imagine the presence of a foreskin would change your ability to engage with a balloon.
You're right.
Mm.
You're right. Oh, my God. Then we got the absurdist casino / biodome / survival. I'm sure this is in some way offensive to people with mental illness.
Well, I mean, even...
But they were hypnotized.
We said...
So, they, you know, even if something bad, you know, even if it wasn't okay, they didn't know.
I mean, if anything, at least we've removed their agency, right? So...
Okay, what about if people are just... offended. It's regular people who consent to being hypnotized to being insane.
Yeah, it's like when people sign up to be like Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
He's like an agent that's been trained up. He sort of supposedly gave his consent to become this new weapon.
Yeah.
They consent to being a weapon for the casino, which is a lot worse than
it's a
killer.
Weapon of madness.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, sometimes your training improves your skills, but sometimes it lowers your skills.
At no point have I really, I think, gathered exactly why they needed to be insane for this to take to work.
Because it's absurd.
Okay, sorry, I've gathered now.
Yeah. Okay, and then we got the dinosaur book.
Yeah.
Just for kids to teach about your different kinds of dinos.
Yeah.
Yep. And which I think is just a good idea for a book.
Yeah.
Everybody. Then we got dress for old success. Which is when you dress up as a statue.
Mm, do you stand on a box?
You can.
Like a one that looks like stone.
Yeah, I guess if you had a big stone box you can carry with you.
Yeah.
But then you also have to put like, you know, if you're really successful, sort of pigeon spikes on you.
Do you get like, did you get defaced for like your role in some kind of historical genocide?
Depends how successful you were.
Yeah.
Then we have the... Ruin Dave's Life with Antoine Dudson game show.
Oh. Yes.
Which I think is just part of my new YouTube prank show. And then we have Hobbit is Where ATMs Come From, and the estate of J.R. Tolkien is suing ATM machine manufacturers.
Yep.
So I think classic. Thank you so much, Dave Warnicki, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're about to go into a song, and then we're going
to
go
here.
Back to the wrap-up.
And then we'll thank you some more.
Yeah.
All right. So is this song dedicated to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bidi bada bada bidi 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 bidi bada 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 bidi bada bada bidi bidi bada 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 bidi bada 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 bada.
That was beautiful.
You don't even have to say that.
We know, but you can if you want. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. A little bit loopy.
It was a little bit loopy today. I think we all worked a day's work. We did another podcast before Dave arrived, but
we had some real good laughs.
We had some real good times. David, thank you so much. Where can people find you?
Thank you. Well, they can check out very soon the new podcast, Book Cheat. Book Cheat, but if you're at Book Cheat Pod on all the social medias. But currently, if you want to hear a podcast that already exists.
One of my favorite podcasts. I hope I know what you're going to say.
Don't you know who I am? What a great show.
Russia, if you're listening.
Do Go On.
Do Go On, right. Dave's podcast with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
And you guys are still doing that?
Yeah, still doing it.
And you guys do reports?
Yeah, so basically, if you haven't heard it before, we've got this over 150 episodes where we take it in turns to report on a topic suggested by a listener.
It's very, very funny, and I've never missed an episode.
Andy has been on an episode. He talked about Sir Isaac Newton. That was your report topic. Great stuff. Very fun episode.
Thank you very much, and I have another topic, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to do it.
Sounds good. Al, you got a topic?
I got to come up with a topic.
Okay.
Matt said that I should do Seinfeld.
Oh, that'd be great.
But I mean, what do people not know about Seinfeld?
Well, Matt recently did an episode on Friends. That was one of the report topics. I'm not a big Friends fan, but I found it very interesting. There was lots of little tidbits, little information. Little and being an actual fan of Seinfeld, I'd probably enjoy that report even more because I actually care about the show.
Okay. Well,
it was very interesting, though, that Friends episode. I recommend it.
I'm going to go back and listen to it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dave. And have you said where you are on like Twitter and stuff?
Oh, I'm just at Dave Warnicky, my name. Or Hornicky, as Alistair says.
Yes.
On all the platforms.
And you can find us at 2 in Tank. I'm at Alistair TB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy. You can find us on Patreon if you want to chip in. Give us $3, send us 3 words. Or you can get our extra bonus episodes that we do 2 of per month. And they are being fun. And
we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.